Morning. How good are you guys? Lovely to be here with so many people. I come from the far end called Kilcare, Hardy's Bay. And we're all oldies and grandparents down there, so thanks for the special welcome for old people, Dan. That was really helpful. Look, when this passage came up with my name on it, it's personal, and I'll share with you why in a moment. And I'm kind of guy who wanders around, and instead of looking here, would love you to look up there, because when you put these two terms together, hypocrite and judgmental, they're the words I hear all the time to describe Christians. Yes, no. And the thing for me is, and I can't find excuses, I'll touch on a couple of things I've got on the screen in a moment, but this passage really speaks to me. Whether it's because I've been, professionally someone who needed to critique, or I don't know, maybe it's hidden from my childhood, but I'm very good at criticizing people. And sadly, it is just a habit which we really do need the Holy Spirit to help us with. So I'm feeling very much, every time I teach every week in our church, and I'm very aware that there's a gap between what I say and who I am. And so that hypocrite label, when I hear it, I tend to say to people, absolutely, I'm guilty. But I want us to come together to look at this passage this morning, because one of the times I can be critical is when people let me down. That's usually when I vent with Anne in the car on the way home or something like that. But look, there's more to it than that. I was raised as a baby in the post-war boom, which means I'm a baby boomer. And my parents survived a war against a couple of nations, and I was raised in a home with racism. I was talking about this recently when we had a guys get together on the referendum. But not only that, I was raised in a house where you had to look, everyone's supposed to look the same. And so someone, you know, with tattoos or short shaved, whatever, just someone who is different. And I would find myself criticizing those people. Now, I'm the odd one out in our family, because my wife and I and three adults, three of the five of us have tats. So I'm one of the odd ones out. And God does things over time. But one of the things that I've realized as I went into this passage to help me make a feel a little bit more comfortable is that I'm probably not alone. I'm probably not alone. In fact, I think we humans are very good at making negative criticisms of other people. And so we come to this morning with, I hope, a little bit of candor. How many people feel like this passage is something relevant for you in terms of negative criticism? Okay. The thing here is that all of us with our hands up are not going to judge those who did not put your hand up at all. All right? Let's look at this. Jesus says, do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you'll be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. It's a pretty good piece of it's kingdom culture, isn't it, in this whole series. And it's a pretty good piece of wisdom for us to try and shape our lives. You see, many people have this ungodly habit of criticizing other people, sometimes rather hastily. And I want to say up front that this, when we use the word judge, it doesn't mean we shouldn't be discerning or critical thinkers. Because in a moment we get to that verse 6, which tells us to discern who pigs are. Okay? So we really need to be comfortable with in our lack of comfort. This makes us very uncomfortable, but we need to be aware that it's okay for us to be discerning. That's really important. The command about criticism is one which Jesus, it's in keeping with everything else he's been saying here. It's really about being gentle with people, kind with people, loving people, and so on. And so this is talking, whether we make comments about people or our attitude, it's really important for us to get hold of what he's saying here. And when he says, don't judge because you will be judged, and that standard will be used, he's really conveying the fact that what we're doing is putting ourselves in God's place. That's it, isn't it? Judging people negatively, criticizing them. And so Jesus is saying, look, it's just going to come back on you. It'll come back to you, this kind of habit that you have. God's judgment, what I've said there is God's judgment falls on those who are superior or harsh towards others, while they're blind to their own faults. That's why he talks in a moment about the log in your own eye. But in Luke 6, same statement is made in Luke's version, and in the very next sentence, Luke says that we are to forgive others and you will be forgiven. So rather than judging and you'll be judged by that criteria, we should be looking to forgive people and let that be the principle that governs our lives. That's the principle which Jesus has already talked about, hasn't he? A couple of times in the Sermon on the Mount. So let me throw in my own wisdom here, because this is an observation about myself. I think being judgmental and critical of others is a very cheap way of inflating who I am. Bringing others down is a way of me feeling better than I truly am. And I think in the past I've used criticism of people simply because I was defensive and I couldn't even accept, way back I hope, couldn't accept good criticism from people, things that were true, if they were trying to help me. So it's one of those things that we can look at ourselves and a bit of our own character, which is, and Jesus is, all three of these chapters are on about developing our character, aren't they? So if it's a bad habit of ours, then it's one of those areas that I am constantly offering to the Holy Spirit. He's got to help me deal with it. And that sometimes, well, we know, that requires us in our partnership with the Holy Spirit, maybe with good close friends to keep us accountable, that kind of thing. When I was thinking about this, I went to a related behaviour. And a related behaviour, I think, is this tendency for people, again, human trait, for people to talk about us negatively with others. The New Testament uses the word slander or malice or whatever, but translations also use the word gossip. The best definition I could find is sharing privileged information, speaking of faults and failings of others. But of course, God's word was there early. Have a look at the proverb. A gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man or a woman who talks in that way. Paul is the one who says, it's Colossians 3, Ephesians 4, these are the character things we need to get rid of. And the only way we can do that again is that daily walk with the Holy Spirit, where we're conscious of stuff that we need to commit to him. And the other thing about the tongue, I guess, is James' warning, isn't it, in chapter 3 of his book in the New Testament, and a reference in chapter 4. So that's just a little tangent to the side. the issue of gossip. Let me ask this, because you've already had the answer in this series. What if you do offend someone with something you've said that was critical? Do you remember back in chapter 5, Jesus said, if you're giving your gift at the altar and you find that there's a broken relationship here, we are the ones who need to take the initiative to fix it. I hate to confess this, but I watch a few leadership things nowadays, and a long time ago I heard someone say that never apologise because it's a sign of weakness. I think Jesus is saying the opposite when he talks about someone who wants to mend relationships if you've damaged them. And so that's the issue, I think, which is kind of coming out of this passage for those of us who feel the weight of it. Now, this little bit about speck and log, this is kind of verses 3 to 5, in a sense. It's well known, isn't it, that saying? It's actually known by people who are, like, not churched, or whatever the local term is around the place. I actually think it's a brilliant image for that reason. The master teacher, talking about a log and a speck, so memorable, and also a little bit humorous. How can you worry about that little dot there when you've got this? What I was thinking about this is, obviously it means what you find wrong in others is tiny compared to what God sees in you. Anything that you find that needs to be dealt with in a brother or a sister is tiny, so take a look in the mirror. And it's an arrogant presumption. This might have been from some wisdom I read somewhere. It's an arrogant presumption about the faults of others and a serious overlooking of ourselves. I'm always more conscious of people who sin against me than of my sin. Anyone else in that category? We're very quick, aren't we, to note people who sin against us or who sin. So there's the speck and the log. And so what is Jesus actually saying here? This is really important. He's saying you can deal with the speck in your fellow brother or sister's eye. But the priority is deal with your log first. That's what he's saying, isn't it? Until you discover and remove your log, you will not be able to help your friend. Your friend is what the NLT says. But we're raising another issue here of helping each other with some specs. And that's not an easy part of being brothers and sisters together. Again, most wisdom put together in one book, the Proverbs, do not rebuke mockers or they'll hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. How wise are we to accept rebuke, and how good are we at doing this with each other? Paul talks about it a couple of places. I've got the references there again. To mutually teach and admonish each other. Do it with each other. This time on a Sunday, home group, whatever, lots of opportunity for teaching. But the rubber hits the road with us living with each other. Disciples encouraging each other. And sometimes that involves giving and receiving a helpful piece of wisdom. Call it criticism if you want. And I don't think that's easy, especially when we're conscious of our own logs. So this, I don't know whether this is an area for you, but it is important, because when we think, well, should I speak to someone about that when I'm like, I'm so conscious of the log in my eye? It's really, really significant issue for us relationally as we journey together towards the character of Christ with the Holy Spirit shaping us. And part of that, I've just got that top line there about well-intended criticism is not easy to hear. So something that's hard to give and sometimes hard to receive. Very hard to receive. And so there's an area for us, again, to look through. The positive about this is I think it is a great way to journey together and build relationships. Now, in wisdom, we'd need to say you can't do this with everybody. But I want to build close relationships with a few people who I can trust to find the specks in my eye. And it's mutual. And the thing about those people is that I know they're for me. They're not just having a go or wanting themselves to feel bad or whatever it is. Someone who is for me. And that comes back to an old saying that I had back in my school teaching days. Jesus is not against us for our sin. You comfortable with that? He's not against us for our sin. He is for us against our sin. That's how we are with each other. It's all about being at the foot of the cross. And thank you for the worship this morning, the music, fantastic. So look, it is about building relationships with each other and trying to be encouraging, and it comes from a good heart, not a critical spirit. So let's just finish with this. Are you okay with pearls and swine? What version of the Bible is? I've gone for the NLT, which is about pearls to pigs. Now, this is where there's a bit of a contradiction. It seems to be a contradiction, or at least a quick change in tack from Jesus in what we know as chapter 7. The background, of course, you will know, is that Leviticus 11 for our Jewish friends and also in Islam means that pigs are indeed a special category of people. In Leviticus 11, they're regarded as unholy. It's that simple. And that's the background to the saying that was around in Judaism in Jesus' day, and that's what he's picking up on. But in the context, the link between the first few verses of this and verse 6 is that this is about the opposite of being critical. This is actually about wasting what is holy on people who are unholy. That's how they would have heard it, and we need to translate that into our lives, which I hope I'll help us do in a moment. See, it's an extension in what Jesus is teaching us about the value of holy things and not to profane things that are holy. So his disciples knew nothing holier than the gospel. Nothing holier than the gospel of a crucified Messiah. And while 2,000 years later it is still to be proclaimed to all, there is a limit to the times that we are to present it to people, and you can use whatever terms, persistent refusers. At my age and stage in life and the people I mix with in Retirement Central, just south of here, there's a lot of arrogance, which reminds me again about the possible log that I have in my eye. Whether it's about politics or whatever, people, as we get older, tend to be firm in what we think. And there's a very firm and arrogant rejection I call it of churchianity, not necessarily the Christ of Christianity, and that leads to an interesting discussion. But it really is something for us to think about. Never stop praying for people, particularly in our families, as I know, and among our close friends. But you see, that there is this principle. Paul demonstrated it. Whenever there was persistent rejection, he moved on. And so we're not called to proclaim God's gospel to those who repeatedly or aggressively reject it. I think that is what Jesus is saying. If you like, outside of the gospel, it's bigger than that. It's the pearl of teaching and wisdom in the whole of the biblical revelation that we need to be wise about the conversations we get into. Be careful with whom we share those messages. The gospel of the kingdom of God is a pearl. It truly is, and we are so privileged to be a part of that kingdom. But I think what Jesus is saying here is caution. Remember when he sent his disciples out in Matthew 10, Luke 10, what did he tell them to do? You can bless certain people, but he also said, shake the dust off your feet when it's not received. Move on. There are other people who need to hear this message. So I think what we're doing here is it is about the discerning, critical thinking about other people and to put some boundaries in place when we are sharing the beauty, the pearls of the kingdom of God. It's nice to have only six verses. Let's try and pull a number of thoughts together this morning. It really is a wonderful passage for us to take away and hear what God is saying this morning. And I've thrown a couple of different things in, so let me try and summarize that. There are those of us who have a bad habit of speaking critically to others. That's a character issue for our Holy Spirit and those close to us to help us with. I think related to that is this issue of talking about others negatively with others. And if we do find ourselves in that situation, Jesus would say, mend the relationship as quickly as you can. And then the hypocrisy warning. It's an arrogant presumption about the faults of others when this stuff that we seriously overlook for ourselves. But we are here to help each other on the journey. So how easy is it for us to have those kind of mutual admonish, teach, rebuke, support kind of relationships? And finally, anything from God's word is absolutely a beautiful pearl. So we might need to think through those boundaries to put in place when we're having some conversations. Continue to pray for the people. Absolutely. And stay in their lives. But be cautious about the conversations we have. I'm going to finish it there and just ask if we can just be in the silence of the room for a moment. I'm not going to pray. I think each of us has a conversation to have with our Lord at this very time as we seek to listen to him and be his people.